they're going to mess up little plays. I'd rather, John Wimmer used to say, I'd rather have a full bottle with a wrong label than the right label in an empty bottle or empty jar. So theology is important, but we all see it through glass darkly, right? But as much as we're able, right theology does provoke actual experience and real faith. And many times, really bad theology brings a lot of confusion. Ephesians chapter 1. This is a real familiar scripture. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses and transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's why he says, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth, because that's where you've been positioned. So, I would present to you this. Not only are you, because you're in Christ, under an open heaven, you're sitting in an open heaven. You're right in the middle of the most wide open heaven possible. You can't be in the heavens in Christ and beg for an open heaven. You got an open heaven. Christ is the open heaven, and you're in him seated. It's a settled deal. And instead of begging for an open heaven and pleading for an open heaven, could it be that God would like for us to begin to praise him for the open heaven that we live under, that we live in Christ already? Now, don't be concerned. This doesn't get you and I off the hook about the greater works ministry of Jesus. This doesn't get you off the hook, okay, I don't have to worry about being so charismatic. This actually hooks you and really removes all of our excuses. You're in the open heaven. You're in Christ in the heavenlies in Walmart. And that's a stretch. I can't tell you the whole story because I'd have to tell a word that I wouldn't want to tell in church, but a few weeks ago I had to go to Walmart, which I try to avoid at all costs. You go through paradigm shifts in Walmart that takes you years to recover from. I'm very Pollyannish about life and Selma. I go in Walmart and I have to go, okay, Lord. I start making confessions again and stuff. This is just crazy in there. So I'm in my outfit, I'm in my little uniform, you know, my clergy thing, and I get out of my car because I had to go to Walmart to get something. It was before Eucharist, and I'm going, Lord, I don't want to go to Walmart. Lord. And there are people with me, and we're in the parking lot. We're all rushing towards the door, cars everywhere. And this old man walks out of Walmart. And I'm already struggling with going into Walmart. I'm not walking any faith at all. And the guy walks by with this weird look on his face. And he says, don't go in there. That place is a blank madhouse. I went, thank you, Lord. Just what I needed to hear before I went home. But the truth is, if regardless of what's going on in there, when I go into Walmart, or I go into Winn-Dixie, or I go into the store, or I go home, when I go back to the hospital, I'm in Christ, in the heavenlies, under an open heaven. And therefore, I should expect, look for open heaven realities to be happening. I don't need to beg for them. I should assume and thank the Lord for, praise God for, believe. Lord, your voice is vivid. That's part of my deal. I'm hardwired for that now. I'm hardwired for signs and wonders. I'm hardwired for heaven's unmerited, unrelenting, unmeasurable favor. I don't have to beg you for favor. I don't have to beg you to hear your voice clearly. I don't have to beg you for a miraculous life. You're a God of miracles, and I'm in Christ. Christ is the open heaven. And I'm in Christ. And I can walk into every situation with a cultivated consciousness of faith that's resting in what I'm resting in. That's thanking Him for His clear voice. So when I find myself in an atmosphere where I want to see miracles and signs and wonders, that's just normative for Christians. It's not about getting something. It's about believing the someone. Open heaven's a person. You're in union with that person. Jesus cannot not live under an open heaven. You're in union with Him. You can't not live under open heaven. Now, you and I may not choose to be conscious of it, may not believe it, may not thank Him for it with expectation, but it's true. It's real. It's the truth about you in Christ. Therefore, go forth believing it and manifest it. Now, I know that's too simple. It's got to be harder than that, right? We've got to do something here that finally talks God into up there doing what He said He's already done. We make it so hard. And it brings a lot of confusion in the body of Christ. Find yourself in a situation where ministry's going on. You don't have to beg God. Oh, God wants you to be conscious with a vivid conviction. Lord, I am in the heavens right now. I'm in open heaven right now. So I just thank You for that reality. And then with an atmosphere of childlike faith that expects. Remember the Lord when I went to Africa a few years ago and I watched all these amazing signs and wonders happen to that lady that was bent way over, couldn't walk, couldn't sit down for 5 years because she was this far off the ground. She was bent forward and she was dancing, left on the back of a motorcycle after the service. And I was watching that in the Lord. So I said, okay, Lord, I want to take that back. He said, you can't take it back. I said, what? Wow. And there were several things He told me. He said, these people are childlike. Their expectation. But when we come back to the States, we have to wad through and fight through so many things that tell us, no, don't, so everything's logical, everything's reasonable, everything is whatever. He said, but you can take childlikeness back there, but don't let anything you see or anything anybody says steal that from you. No matter how many people don't get healed, don't let that happen. And childlikeness is about becoming more simple. I've been saying that for a few years now. I'm convinced it's not about getting the deeper truth or getting more complicated or getting the new vision. It's about becoming more simple. Think about it. Don't you think God would want to make it as easy as He possibly can for everybody to manifest the reality of heaven on this fallen earth? Or do we think that God would want to make it so complicated that only a few chosen get it? And He kind of lives in heaven like going, warmer, warmer, nope, colder, colder. And I'm not going to tell you, but you got to get it. That's not the way it works. I don't see that anywhere in Scripture. God makes it easy peasy, lemon squeezy. That's a commercial from back in the early 60s. And so, does that help me understand what we've been saying for a while now, that we're not waiting for God to break through in our culture? God's waiting for us to break through in faith? Could it be that simple? That it's about a matter of faith? That Jesus has already accomplished what I've been begging for? He's just waiting for me to believe and manifest what's already true? So the greater works of Jesus can be manifested in our midst, wherever you go. Do you think that would change the way you how sensitive you are, conscious you are, what's going around you in Walmart. If you walk in there, as you begin to learn to believe that you're in Christ, therefore you're in the heavens. And you know what it says in Hebrews chapter 4? Here's what faith is. It's entering into His rest. Jesus isn't anxious. Jesus is at rest. He knows exactly what's going on. He knows exactly what He thinks about every situation and exactly what He's prepared to do and with what kind of adequacy He's prepared to do it with. Faith is just entering into His rest. And again, I would say you're not just under an open heaven. Your feet might be under this earth, but you're in the earth, but you're not of it. You're seated right in the midst of open heaven. And you carry that everywhere you go. Let me read this last verse to you. Then we're done. I know I've read this to you before. Let me just read it to you again. Because the Isaiah 64 passage I read to you is the great Old Testament scripture for the coming of Messiah. Coming revival. God, the works we saw you done in the wilderness, we saw you do in Egypt to deliver us, all the signs and wonders. Do them again, Lord, but even greater works. What they were praying for was the coming of Messiah. That's what they were praying for. Everything that they did was prophetical intercession for the coming of Messiah. The Feast of Tabernacles and the water ceremony at the end was all about, we want the living waters to come to finally satisfy our thirst. And Jesus stood up on that last day, the great day of the Feast of Tabernacles, and said, if anybody thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He said, I'm the fulfillment of all those prayers. I'm the fulfillment of all that intercession. I am the living waters. I'm here. Out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. So in Isaiah 64, and I've spent years, just going over this scripture, studying this thing, and came to this conclusion some while back, a long time ago. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. They're talking about the Messiah. This is a messianic. Every theologian who's ever written on this story would tell you this is a messianic prayer. Oh, that the heavens would come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence, as fire kindles the brushwood, as fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, that the nations may tremble at your presence. When you did awesome things which we did not expect, that you, when you came down, the mountains quaked at your presence. From of old, have they not heard or perceived by ear, neither has the eye seen besides thee, who acts in behalf of those who wait for him. Let me just tell you, that prayer was answered 2,000 years ago. People ask me sometimes over the years, like, well, what do you believe? Who are you? I say, well, I think I'm a charismatic, prophetic, liturgical revivalist. In terms of, I believe revival. But I believe this. Revival isn't about God showing up. Again, it's about you showing up and believing something God's already done. And I believe I can prove that to you in every revival that's ever manifested throughout church history. That people came to a place of faith. Because I've made that part of my passion, studying revivals. And I believe that when you became a Christian, you carry what we call revival because you live in open heaven. You can't get more revival than the reality of heaven happening. Every one of you carry that already. The body of Christ does. What we see as manifestations of revival is when church, when a geographical area is affected by people coming into. God answers the intercession because people finally come into something that's always been there, but we're awakened to it. And yes, everything conscious feels different, looks different, seems more real, but it's not more real than it always was because you're born into an open heaven. Simply the people of God come into a place where God's done some things in their heart. Their hearts have adjusted. And they finally start believing. Vaughan Regional Hospital is a blessed place because Lord's glory fills the earth. And when I'm there, I'm in an open heaven. But if I choose to get down and get myself out of my position and try to do battle on earth level, it doesn't feel like an open heaven. But that's not because I'm not under an open heaven. It's because I quit believing it. Very simple. Does that help? Does that not help? So we're going to still sing songs of open heaven? Yeah, because what we're actually singing is, God, awaken our hearts to believe. Help us to enter in to your finished work. When Jesus said it's finished, he meant a lot more than most of you think. And everything we do in the Christian life starts where he said it's finished. Everything you enter into, you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. You break into a new blessing. It's not you can't get something you didn't have because he said you've been blessed, past tense, with every spiritual blessing. Did he say that or not say that? So when you break through into a new blessing, you are simply breaking through into something that he said is finished. Lord, give us ears to hear. Encourage our hearts. Because I believe this with all my heart, y'all. If you personally will own this word, if we corporately will own this word, we will start seeing the breakthrough stuff that some of you have been crying out to God for. Because we will break through in faith to what he's already provided for us. Even a child can do that. And so I'm not going to let me or us off the hook reminding us of this. We ought to be getting stories all the time. Because you carry an open heaven and you manifest that, that changes everything around you. We found ourselves yesterday with the nurse that we had was a new nurse, and so Olivia's situation is kind of complicated. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is our first unfriendly nurse this particular trip. Before the day was over, she's in the room telling us her life story and all the stuff that she had been through because she wanted us to speak into her life. And she says, I got 100 people out there who would like to need to come and talk to you. And I thought, well, that's probably why we're here. But see, we woke up yesterday morning going and talking to Olivia. Here's Olivia. She's called to be a counselor. What God's put on you, you can't get away from. He'll bring them to you. Whatever it is you're called to do. And we're in that situation. This has happened. I'm thinking, this is so funny. We prayed that morning. Lord, we thank you that we're here in open heaven. And we just started thanking him for all the things that's true about you're in control, we're in Christ, yada, yada, yada. Thank him for healing, all that kind of stuff. And just to watch that happen. And watch people who come into our room, kind of, except for a couple, we're determined, sort of be transformed. Because heaven is supernatural. And when you're manifesting an open heaven, things around you changes. The atmosphere changes. People change. Even in the midst of IVs, bedpans, catheters, no sleep. Because the reality is you're in Christ. Living in the heavens. Amen? Well, Lord, thank you. Bless you, Lord. Thank you. Give us ears. Amen. Let's stand together. Let's confess the creed. Or you have a card in front of you. I need a card because I can't ever see up there. All righty. I'll do better this way. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. And one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds. God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, was made man, was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. The third day He rose again in accordance with the Scriptures and ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He shall come again with glory to judge the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken to the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let me see you for just a second. You guys can just prepare the table, not the prayers, just everything kind of set up. Yeah. So be seated. Roxanne, you want to come? So just kind of get the table ready, and I'll be up there in just a second. Let me just preamble for Roxanne. This we need a microphone, too, George. This Thursday night, there's going to be a dinner at Andrew's house. And Roxanne will tell you more about it. It's a fundraiser for these kids. For years and years, I've prayed that our youth group would be able to go to the One Thing Conference in Kansas City. I think it's the most anointed conference for young people. It's young adults and youth group in the world. There's like 20,000 people there. Some of the great speakers and worship leaders are there. People that I trust passionately. And so the opportunity, the Rector's Council kind of stepped out in faith. So we're going to believe God for this. But we're in the process of still raising the funds to make it happen because it's not inexpensive to go there, to pay for kids, to pay for rooms, all that kind of stuff. So this meal is about helping with that.